Hey Peter, Howard here from the Dynasty Crossroads show. Do you find yourself thinking about nerds? Do you want to beat nerds all the time? Do you sometimes...
I don't know, whatever Dynasty Outhouse would say, listen to the Dynasty Crossroads, I hope you beat the nerds. Let's go.
Yeah! Chicken a crow, crossing the... Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E, I'm an addict. And I need it in my veins, I'm an addict. Otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. I'ma win, it's a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts 5, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Kane Fussell, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 139 of the Trade Addicts podcast, member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAP network, if you will. And I just did. We are here. Just about halftime of Monday night game. I hope you are not depending on any Steelers players for your playoff needs so far, because it is not going well for any of them. I personally need 8.5 more points out of T. Higgins, and just be warned, you will hear me screaming T every catch he gets. So, I mean, maybe lower the volume a little bit just to be safe. And I announced it on Twitter, and I guess I could announce it now, that we have a new co-host, Rocky Petrella from the, well, I guess once was Dynasty Junkies, but, you know, I guess we're merging the shows, if you will. But you will also notice he's not here today because I knew Kane was coming on this show and I wanted Kane all to myself. So I said, Rocky, you can start next week. And he was like, okay. So that's how all this happened. So how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I am not as tilted as I thought I would be coming into this. I actually, like, a lot of my games are decided despite the amount of Big Ben I have on my competing teams, despite the amount of T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd I have on all of my teams. A lot of my games are decided already. I have like maybe 3 or 4 games that are within realistic chances of being met either way. So I'm pretty good, except T. Higgins one where I need 8.5 points is a home league. So I want to win that because most of the people in that league are terrible. Like the person who is most likely going to win, who's made the finals already, didn't draft his team. And that's kind of BS.
Well, that's rough. I have like one league where if Juju scores no more points, I win. And then I'm in the finals of two more. One that I co-own a team with John Hogue, which, you know, when you're with John, you mm-hmm. just end up with a lot of quarterbacks. So that team is now affectionately known as the QB store.
Yep.
Because quarterbacks were just flying on that team. And so our team's just really good there. And we've done really well in that one. And I think we're going to be in the championship against Stompy. So I think that'll be a fun one.
I was about to say, fun is probably the right word to be looking for right now.
It's just fun, you know, when you're facing one of your friends, it's just fun because at least you're going to trash talk, especially when there's not a whole lot of money on the line. You're just kind of hanging out and just trying to enjoy
the week as much as possible. Yeah. So, you know, my big thing is I've never in the 15-ish years of running leagues, I've never won a league that I've run. I am in 6 finals of leagues I run. If it doesn't happen this year, I might just quit. I am in 3. What's the words? Trade Addicts. That's the words I couldn't remember. I am in 3 Trade Addicts finals. Trade Addicts 2, 4, 6. No, I got crushed by Matt Price in eight.
But I gave you, Monty didn't even help you enough.
And you gave me, I took Tonyan from you, who scored like 20 points less than Logan Thomas, who I sat. It doesn't matter. I couldn't have caught up to Matt because Davante Adams picked a terrible week to show the world that he's human.
Yeah,
I have a lot of him. So it's really funny because TA4 and 6, I was first place with most points. In TA2, I was in second place with second most points. In first place with most points was Brian Haar, who I will most likely be playing in the championship. Well, I will be, seeing as how bad the Steelers are doing right now, because he's going against someone on the Steelers.
Right.
So that's going to be fun. Kind of like you and John going against Stompy. And the thing is, like, I need to win 6 because I've done so much trash talking in that league, and I don't normally do that. Like, I figured I'm not going to win my leagues anyway, so I might as well start having fun with it. And I trash talking is new to me because I'm usually too terrified to do it. But that's why, like, I need to win at this point.
Yeah, and then I guess in one other league, I'm up less than a point with Juju on the other guy's team. So, like, if Juju does nothing, I end up winning in two leagues and making the finals in two leagues. One being the Devi Marketplace League. Oh. So I'd, like, really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess good for you for making it to the championship of your own league. I even don't think I've done that yet. Yeah, I never made it to the championship of a Trade Addicts League.
You know, I need Juju to
do nothing.
Do nothing for that to happen, but
lots of drops so far. Okay, so was there something else? No, I just wanted to complain about, you know, not winning my leagues. So there's a little bit of news, there's thankfully not been, like, we've gone a couple of weeks without these major injuries that, you know, were plaguing the league for the first while. But if you saw the end of the Chiefs game yesterday, you saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire's lower half do many things it's not supposed to do. Like, his leg got pushed one way, his leg got bent back the other way, his other leg got bent back the other way, his body got pushed sideways. And, like, thankfully, like, are you old enough to have played with G.I. Joe toys?
Yes.
Like, you know those, like, they have the rubber bands in the middle, so you could, like, twist them, and then all of a sudden they, like, kind of snap and fall apart. Like, I thought that's what happened to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, he just got bent in so many of the wrong ways with 300-pound men falling on top of him that I just kind of thought he was going to... But he somehow escaped with, like, a hip sprain and a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, and the ankle will take more time than the hip will.
Yeah, and I read at least that the Chiefs are hoping to have him back by the playoffs. And since I believe they locked the first round bye,
yep,
that is what, we're in 15, so 16, 17, so that's what, 3 weeks, he'll be back in the fourth.
Yeah, and I think that'll be rushing it, to be honest.
I mean, depth-wise, they probably need it, but... And I like the player, but he hasn't really super done anything for the Chiefs, I don't think, where it would be necessary to rush him back if he's not 100%.
No, it's not like Dalvin Cook on the Vikings, right? It's very pivotal to what you do. Like, Mahomes will be fine.
Yeah. All right, so let's ask the question, since this is Trade Addicts. If you are making your way into the finals, is it worthwhile to go send out an offer for Lev Bell? Like, do you think he... do you think he would be... I mean, would he be worthwhile on your team at this point? Is he someone you would play based on matchups?
Yes.
Yeah?
It was supposed, especially if, like, it's a TA league, right, where you're starting, what, 10, 11 guys, and, you know, if you end up having, like, you're that CEH owner or you're the Zeke owner, right, and you happen to move forward... I would try and give up. I don't think I'd pay more than a third.
That was going to be my next question. Oh, they play Atlanta next week.
Yeah, so a third is really all I would give up.
Yeah, I guess if I knew, like, if I got, like, crazy lucky and made it into the finals. So let's pretend you have your own picks. Your picks are going to be the 211 or the 212. If you had CEH, you don't have a backup worthwhile. You still wouldn't be able to find it in you to send the 211 or 212 for Lev Bell?
Nope.
Okay.
Not in this draft.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, we're going to get to that later because since, you know, you are at Devi underscore Kane, we got lots of incoming rookie questions, so we will get to those. You know what? Let's get right to them. Why not, right?
Yeah, let's get it.
Okay, so the first question is from some guy named at Dynasty Outhouse.
Okay.
He wants to know, is Jalen Hurts for real, and what was your eval on him coming into the last year's draft?
So I believe Jalen Hurts has a pulse. And, you know, it comes down to if we are all real, then Jalen Hurts is real.
Okay, so he is not in his own simulation aside from the rest of us.
No, I believe either we are in the same simulation or we are not in a simulation at all and we're actually living our own lives without predetermined causes.
Ooh, okay, okay.
So if we really want to get existential on this bad boy, But Jalen Hurts is just a really good player, right? Fantasy football wise. He is just very efficient on the ground. And he was in college. I think the biggest thing, right? The second half of that question is what was my eval coming into the draft? And it wasn't super great, mainly because of landing spot, right? It's different when we're talking landing spot for running backs and wide receivers, right? Because more than one of them can get playing time in a game. When it's just a quarterback, right? And if you assume that Carson Wentz would even like slightly return to what he did, you know, that MVP season, then there was no need for Jalen Hurts to really be on your radar, right? With the contract that Carson Wentz had. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, if there's anyone that's saying that they expected this kind of season from Carson Wentz, well, then I think they might be fibbing. Because no one was, right? No one anticipated the season for Carson Wentz. So I think it's hard to be like, it was really hard to be really, really high on Jalen Hurts, right? Because Carson Wentz is an okay quarterback with a pretty decent sized contract that makes him probably stay on that team. You know, all that considered, you know, Jalen Hurts is just playing well. And so he's probably going to be the starter next year. So we'll see what happens with Carson Wentz. I think, you know, a landing spot like Indianapolis would make a ton of sense. When he was actually the MVP, an MVP candidate, Frank Reich, who is obviously the coach at Indianapolis, was the play caller.
Right.
So that would be a really, really good landing spot, I think, over there.
Yeah, and it's one, I think, I'm not going to pretend to take credit for this. Someone said it somewhere that if there were to be like a Brock Osweiler type deal where, you know, he gets traded for, you know, like Wentz in a second for like a sixth, because you're pretty much just dumping that contract.
Yeah.
The Colts are one of the teams that have the cap space to do that. I believe it was the Caps, the Jags, and the Washington football team. I feel like teams are such that it doesn't matter how bad they want this contract off, they would not do it in division. Because on the off chance, Carson Wentz is still good, which I bought into him hard at the beginning of the season because he was so damn cheap.
Damn.
And we have seen him be that good. And he got someone like Jalen Reagor, and we thought he had a healthy offensive line for about 20 minutes and a couple of healthy pass catchers for about 20 minutes, and that all fell to hell. But besides the point, I super bought into him, so I don't think the Eagles, being an NFL team, would be willing to see him twice a year for the next like 4 or 5 years in case he goes back to that. And the Jags are not going to do it because they are getting Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, which leaves the Colts. So
yeah, I think the Colts are actually a pretty good landing spot, right? If you look at what Carson Wentz did really well in college, right? He was the FCS national championship, I want to say 4 times. At NDSU, and if you look at just that NDSU system, right, it's based on a really, really good offensive line. Obviously, they have a good defense, which certainly helps things, but a good offensive line, and it allows the quarterback to take chances when he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the best for Carson Wentz, right? If you have a good run game and a good offensive line, that Carson Wentz can either take off and run when he wants to or can throw the ball down the field when he wants to, and he's not pressured into doing that. When he's playing for the Eagles, right, he doesn't have that option, right? A terrible offensive line, pass catchers that are extremely subpar to what you might want them to be. just as a team in general, like the pass catchers are just below a lot of the league. So it's going to be hard. It was harder for him to find success. So I think the Colts are actually a really good landing spot for him, especially if they can add like one or two pass catchers in the draft, right? With the departure of T.Y. Hilton, who is probably going to be leaving as he's getting up there in age. And Paris Campbell, who can't stay healthy. So I think it'd be really, really nice if he can, you know, go to that team, get one more pass catcher to go alongside Michael Pittman.
Yep.
And Zach Pascal. And I think that would be a really, really good team.
Yeah. I am. The only reason that makes me sad is because I still want Sam Darnold to go to the Colts for no real reason. Otherwise, I think it's awesome because anyone that leaves Adam Gase does better, but also let him learn. I mean, Philip Rivers, he'll probably still play next year. Cause I believe he's still under contract next year. And man, Darnold is what, 23? He's probably younger than one of the two quarterbacks coming out at this point still. And he's younger than Burrow, and Darnold's been in the league for 2 years. So let him sit for a year. If you do get him in a trade, he's still relatively cheap for a quarterback. And then
Philip Rivers is not under contract next year.
Oh, he's not? Okay.
So he just signed a 1 year, $25 million deal.
All right, there you go. Or just tell, man, start him. Or, you know, also trade for Gardner Minshew and let them two fight out, because those guys should be on a team somewhere that is at least going to give him a chance to start. But let's reel it back in to at least the players right now. Are you assuming that next year Jalen Hurts is the starter in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Okay. I've given up on assuming I could understand anything that GMs actually do in the real world. Do you think Wentz gets dealt?
Yes.
Okay.
But I think it's going to have to have a lot of help on the side of the Eagles. Even help from Carson Wentz himself maybe possibly restructure the deal.
Yeah, I saw, I think it was Roto World tweeting out something saying he was asking for a trade if they're not going to let him start. So I assume then he would be willing to help a deal at least to a team that would let him start or give him a chance to at least.
Right.
So let's talk about trading with these guys. Are you looking to acquire either or both of them right now?
Carson Wentz, yes. I'm not paying the price on Jalen Hurts right now.
All right, that was going to be my next question. What do you think is the price for Jalen Hurts right now?
At least the 104.
You think so?
Probably. Yeah.
Really? So you think he's going in like the same realm as these incoming QBs?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to pay that either. It's funny because I was on Twitter. T King Mode tweeted out that he does zero shares of Hurts, and I said, yeah, me too. I'm probably going to go overpay for some. But man, if that's his price, if that's the starting price,
I think that's going to be the price right now.
Yeah, that's right?
I think that's the issue.
Okay, so let's ask the bigger question. Forget what his price actually is. What price would you feel comfortable paying?
107.
Okay, so past the QBs, two running backs, and
Jamar Chase.
And Chase. Okay, so that answers the question of who your wide receiver is. Okay, and that's honestly more along the lines of what I was thinking. I was hoping for closer to like the 8 or 9, you know, just so, you know, to not have to give up the chance of those top wide receivers. But I guess that's what it comes at, right? But
yeah, and so I'll tell you, I just got this trade. This doesn't include Jalen Hurts, but I think it's kind of in the same vein of what we're talking about. I got a trade that I would receive Lamar Jackson in a super flex league for my 101, 105, and TJ Hockenson in a tight end premium league. And I was like, dude, Lamar Jackson is worth just a hair more than Trevor Lawrence right now. I'm not going to pay an extra, you know, mid first round pick and TJ Hockenson in a 2 point per tight end or 2 point per reception for tight end league.
Wow.
Like, I'm not doing that. Like, Hawk is a top four guy.
Yeah. It's, I think the last year's draft picks seem to be worth so much. And I don't think people necessarily realize right away the 101 and 102. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is probably going to be a first round startup pick. not, I mean, like, clearly not rookie draft, like startup. He is probably going to end up being in the 10 to 14 range.
Like QB5, QB4. Yeah.
And probably, like, I did a, at this point, you know, polls or info from a few weeks ago mean absolutely nothing anymore because Lamar finally showed a little bit of ceiling. And sorry, anytime the Bengals pass before I see who it's going to, I'm going to like stop talking.
I'm with you.
Blanked. Right. And I did a poll a couple of weeks ago at this point. Is Lamar Jackson a first round pick in a Superflex startup? And the three choices were yes, top half, yes, bottom half, or no. The order was overwhelmingly no. And then yes, bottom half, and a few, and the smallest was yes, top half. If that's the case, they're worth the same thing, Trevor Lawrence, and which I understand if I'm holding Lamar Jackson, I'm not trading him for the 101. That, I mean, that doesn't make sense. But that unfortunately for a lot of trade situations, so people trying to unload Lamar, that's his value. And that's absolutely going to be tough for people to kind of grasp.
Right. And so, you know, talking about the 101, I actually just got a comment on one of my tweets, right? Because I was just saying, if you have the 101 in a Superflex league, like, don't get excited at the first offer you get for Trevor Lawrence. Don't get weary from all the offers you're going to get and just take the best one, even though that's still not proper value. Like, that price tag is going to go up so much as soon as you make the pick for Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
Right? As soon as the name is attached to the pick, it's worth more. So, like, don't sell low. And then someone just asked me, like, would you sell the 101 for Justin Herbert?
I have
and no, I wouldn't
on that. I think we've gone way too far on Justin Herbert. I like him. I think he's very good. I think he's in a wonderful spot, but
I don't think he's the top 10 quarterback.
Well, top 10, maybe, just because we're losing a lot of the older guys. A lot of the older guys are fading back a lot, and you know, Lamar not doing what he was. So people are going to drop him because they're upset with him and stuff like that. So I think, at least the recency bias, like maybe once we get into the off season, it might change a little bit. But right now, I completely understand Justin Herbert being a top 10 guy. But I don't think I would deal trade value of that. Like, I've been a couple of leagues where in trade at, is it 8? I can't remember anymore. No.
That's one word.
I couldn't remember what league I was going after Herbert in. Oh, right. TA8 was me and Brian at the beginning of the season with Saquon. But in TA5, I got knocked out and I have Kelsey. And I was going to see if I could move Kelsey, and I was trying to get Herbert out of it. And the amount he wanted on top of Kelsey in a 1.75 premium was insane to me. And I'm just not moving him. I'm like, that's all you had to say, man. Don't ask for Travis Kelsey in 2 firsts, which wasn't the actual deal or anything, but you know, I'm exaggerating a bit. But yeah, no, Herbert's value is just out of control for me. So if you got him, honestly, I would not hate on down. I mean, I had so many like Deshaun Watson shares and Patrick Mahomes shares that have turned into Josh Allen plus a lot. You know, yeah. Deshaun Watson is one of my favorite quarterbacks. And at one point he was one of my most owned quarterbacks. And I own zero now just because it became so easy to downgrade a little bit to someone who, I mean, at the time I, you know, thought wouldn't score as many points, even though I did predict Josh Allen to be QB2 behind Patrick Mahomes. Take that, hot takes, getting pretty close. But unless you're getting Mahomes or you get lucky to land on that Kyler at the beginning of the year, and, you know, I guess just not including when he hurt his shoulder, or Lamar from last year, who's going to break fantasy football, downgrading a bit at quarterback to get something on top is just great strategy for trades to get all those extra pieces, especially if you're rebuilding.
Yeah, so I actually just sold, or in the middle of the season, I sold, what's his nuts? The guy you just talked about.
Herbert?
Watson. I sold Watson and Jonathan Taylor.
Ooh.
For Nick Chubb, Darren Waller, and Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, Nick Chubb and Waller. Yeah. Wait, who is... and Jonathan Taylor?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the fan in me hates that, but I love what you got back, too. Like, I think that is a good trade, but, like, getting rid of those two guys just like makes me
let's be real. Nick Chubb, I think, is going to be more efficient than Jonathan Taylor over the next 4 years.
Man, it's a running back. All I think about is 2 years, and I still think that's easily going to be the case.
Right, and you know, when my tight end was like Jordan Akins something like that, right? And I'm upgrading to 20 points more a week with Darren Waller. Like, it's worth it to try and win. And,
You know,
when you're the commissioner of that league, you just want to win. It's the Devy Marketplace League. So I'm just going to do whatever I can, right, to win that league and be on top.
All right, so we're completely going away from the questions, but I don't care because I think that this is good talk. I don't remember if we talked about this last week because it's, you know, playoffs and we're talking about trading in the playoffs. Wow, Claypool is good. If you are selling players, like I was saying, I was selling Kelsey, even though I was going after way too high end of a guy in Herbert because this guy has killer quarterbacks. You should get more than normal. Like, people should have to pay a tax to win.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, okay, it wasn't Juju.
Okay.
Deontay Johnson, 23-yard touchdown.
Oh my God, if I would have put him in instead of Amari Cooper, I would have won the league. But here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
I did lose in a league where I'm playing against Amari Cooper. Ugh.
Doesn't make me feel better because it wasn't me.
Oh, no, never. Unless T. Higgins gets 8.6 more points, in which case I did not then lose to a team against where that played Amari Cooper.
I think the Steelers need to establish the run and go back to that. Or Juju just like hang out.
Yeah, it's Benny Snell season. Let's put it that way. Let's just get that going.
Benny Snell!
Ooh, Snell, yeah.
Snell, yeah, baby.
Shout out to Swags and J Mike. Okay, so speaking of, oh man, J Mike is such a good podcast host. He transitions for me. Next question at J Mike Check. It's early, but walk us through what you feel is the sweet spot in our rookie drafts this year, the area where you're happy to stack picks and be pleased with whoever you land.
Yeah, so I think for me, that spot is, I'm doing some math, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
The 110, 12. Anywhere from like the 110 through like the 204, I'm probably pretty happy.
Okay, so you're here, so let's do this. What do you think is the first like 15 picks of a Superflex rookie draft?
Give me a second. Let me pull up my rankings.
Okay, while you're doing that, how many QBs, if you know offhand, do you have in the first round?
Four.
Four. Do you remember who the fourth is?
Yeah, so the top two, Trey Lance and Zach Wilson.
Okay, Zach Wilson. Yeah, because I know there's Zach Wilson, and I know there was a lot of Mac Jones, is that his name, talk for a while. I don't know how he's doing still, but...
I don't think Mac Jones is going to go in the first round.
Well, neither did Jalen Hurts, and now he's worth the 104. Hashtag just saying.
Yeah, but one can run and is good under pressure, and the other one isn't.
Look, we're getting. I wasn't trying to get technical over here.
Yeah,
we're not. Well, I'm not here to talk
me
about
on here, baby.
Talent. Okay, did you find your rankings yet?
Yep, they're pulled up. So it tops. What top 7 or 8 are going to kind of look something like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and then I'm going back to back running backs. So Travis Etienne, Najee Harris, and then Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. So what does that put us at?
Six.
And then Jamar Chase is going to be 7 for me. And then I think this is where we get into a real discussion, right? Does that running back 3 kind of move up? And for me, that's Javonte Williams, the running back out of UNC.
Okay.
So he would be my 8 right now. And then I think you have the rest of the 4 wide receivers that are in tier 1. So that's Rashad Bateman, Rondale Moore, Jalen Waddle, and Devonta Smith. So I think that puts us at the end of the first round, right?
Yeah, it's either 11 or 12. I stopped counting.
And then, you know, then you're looking at guys like, you know, if Chuba Hubbard can still get good draft capital, Kenneth Gainwell out of Memphis, you know, Kyle Trask, the quarterback out of Florida, I think is going to end up having early second round or late first round.
He seems like the guy that NFL teams will like even more than, you know, evaluators will.
Yeah, because he's accurate. Right? And that means more to NFL franchises than it does
not to fantasy. It's more important than winning in the NFL.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, do they even enjoy winning? I think is another conversation. Or do they just enjoy being mediocre?
Mediocre because it still sells tickets. I mean, that's exactly the real answer.
Yeah. And, you know, and then after that, you have guys like Terrace Marshall, the wide receiver out of LSU. You have Chris Olave, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. You know, Mac Jones could fit in there. I am adamant about not taking a tight end early in rookie drafts. So you're never going to hear me talk about Kyle Pitts as a first round pick. It's just not going to happen.
I mean, we're in the second though. Like, how early would you take Kyle Pitts?
Probably at the 203, 204. That's just picking him so I can trade him.
Okay. Even if he gets, what if like Trevor Lawrence goes to Jacksonville and then they get Pitts in the second? He's not going to last at the second, but let's just pretend that happens.
Then I'd like it, right? But I think a lot of the issue, right, is people are saying that, you know, they'd take Pitts at like 106. And the issue with that, right, is you're already drafting someone at a ceiling.
Yep.
And let's just say, right, that you believe that he's going to be the next Travis Kelce, right? Let's just play that narrative. And let's say that he goes to the perfect landing spot that's going to give him a 25% target share. And let's say that, you know, there's not any other tight ends on the team and that everything is just perfect from with a good young quarterback, right? All this stuff. Like, that doesn't mean that he's going to be Travis Kelce.
Yeah. I mean, it took Travis Kelce, what, 4 or 5 years to be Travis Kelce?
Exactly. So, like, you're drafting someone at their ceiling already. So this idea that we just need to go out and pay whatever price it is necessary for Kyle Pitts, like I was just talking with Scott Connor about this, right? And we love Scott. Scott's incredibly smart when it comes to fantasy football. And he said, statistically, you should take, right? If we're talking about a two tight end league with tight end premium, you should take him like within the first 5 picks. And like, that's perfectly fine if that's what the math dictates. But the issue is the value of players haven't caught up to where the math is.
Yes, I could see that.
So, sure, the math might say that to draft him at the 105, but you're never going to get that draft capital back unless he smashes, right? And let's just say that he ends up being like the next Hockenson or the next Noah Fant. Like, still really good for tight end production, right? Like, but people are going to be disappointed because they're expecting him to be the next Travis Kelce, the next George Kittle, like this next guy. But in all reality, right, if we just look at what tight ends do as a whole, is that they're incredibly team-dependent.
Yep.
Like, let's look at Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry does have a ton of skill, but he's not doing a whole lot with that, right? And he's getting decent targets, right? He's getting, like, 16, 17% target share. But that doesn't mean that the targets themselves are actually valuable, right? Not all targets are created equal, right? When you have a guy like Keenan Allen that's taking all of that underneath work that a tight end predominantly is going to take, right? And you relegate a tight end to kind of taking more out routes and on the other side of the field from Keenan Allen, then that's actually not as efficient for a tight end. And you can say that Kyle Pitts might be the most athletic tight end coming out since, you know, ever, if you want to, right? But that doesn't mean that he's going to produce on the field, right? Doesn't mean that Mike Gesicki...
Like, wasn't David Njoku like one of the most athletic tight ends to come out?
Yeah, Mike Gesicki, exact same thing, right? And we were just finally seeing some solid production from him this season, but it's not like it was consistent production, right? Yeah. And that's why Kelce and Kittle, when he's healthy, are worth so much, right? Because when they're healthy and playing, you're going to get really good elite production.
Yeah, but points over replacement, right? Like, Kelce right now literally has 5 points per game more than Darren Waller. Okay, not including this week. I didn't check after this week. Right. But, like, I was trying to sell Kelce real hard. And I'm like, look, guys, you want to win the championship, right? Literally 5 points per game over the next. And you're offering me, like, eh? Like, okay, great. Cooper Kupp's awesome, but it's going to take more than Cooper Kupp and a little bit on top to get Travis Kelce, especially right now in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, and you know that's the issue that we're running into, and that it's great to have Kelce, right? But everyone wants the new hotness.
Yeah.
And you know, if I'm just looking at rookie drafts right now, right? And let's say that it's either taking Kyle Pitts in the first and Tylan Wallace in the second, or Devonta Smith in the first and Brevin Jordan, the tight end from Miami, in the second. Like, I'm always going to take that second side.
Truth. And there is a good small cluster of, like, good tight ends, right? Like, Pitts isn't just, like, it, right? Brevin Jordan, Freiermuth, is that his name?
Freiermuth, yep, from Penn State. And you have, you know, there's Colby Long from Boston College. There is Kylan Granson from SMU, Brent Cuthy from Utah. Like, there's some other good tight ends, right? But they all do something different.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's Pitts, another thing about tight ends. Yeah.
Pitts. Yeah. He's a good receiver. Like, I'll give him that. Like, I've never said that he's a bad receiver, that he's a bad player. Just the value of tight ends hasn't caught up to their actual production, right? For elite tight ends. And it just hasn't. And that's part of the reason why you can't sell Kelce right now.
Yeah. And it sucks because my team is not good, but I have Kelce on it. So let me just ask you one question before we move on to the next one. So let's say you have that like 202-ish that you think is in that sweet spot. Would it be worth it to throw in, let's say you have the 202 and 204. Would you throw those two together to go trade up to like to the 108 to go get Rondale Moore? Or do you think I'll take my shot on these two guys? Like, I know if I said Jamar Chase, you'd probably say yes because he's your number one wide receiver. So that's why I took a step back from that. Like, do you think it's worth... Oh, go Snell, yeah. Those two dart throws isn't the right word because I don't know who they are, where they land, and anything like that. But like those two lower second, third tier guys to go trade up to get one of those other three top tier one guys?
No.
Okay.
And here's why, right? So the most important thing, I think, in fantasy football, right, and I've learned a lot of this from Scott Connor because we've had these conversations over and over and over again, is that, you know, there's only like 8 to 10 maybe elite wide receivers,
mm-hmm.
right, that are actually going to have solid wide receiver one production. When they're not a wide receiver one, they're going to be wide receiver two on the week, right?
Yep.
But you know as well as I do that any given week, Keenan Cole can outscore Rondale Moore.
Oh, right. Trevor Lawrence, he's going to, of course.
Yeah, you know, with Keenan Cole, he had 4 or 5 wide receiver 2 weeks this season already.
Yeah.
Right, so this idea that just because someone is young and athletic and talented, like, that doesn't mean that he's going to get all the targets, and that doesn't mean he's going to be incredibly efficient the entire time. Because you need both of those combined, right? Over the past few years, like, Tyreek Hill has been extremely efficient, but these past couple of years, he's had the targets on top of that efficiency.
You know, and arguably the best quarterback in the league throwing it to him.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And it's the same thing, right, when Tyler Lockett, right? I think Tyler Lockett's like the perfect case study, right? When he was with Doug Baldwin, extremely efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have the targets to go along with it.
Yep.
Right, and we can go on and on when he was the wide receiver too, and then when he was in the slot, he, like, Russell Wilson had a perfect passer rating, 158.3, when he was targeting Tyler Lockett, right? That's wonderful, and that's great that he's incredibly efficient. But he didn't have the targets to go along with it, so he wasn't a wide receiver one. He wasn't one of these elite guys.
Well, he was never valued at it, for sure.
Right, right. And so I don't know, like, Rondale Moore, I don't think is ever going to be that elite guy. I think realistically, like, wide receiver, like, 15 is probably his ceiling, like, at least in Dynasty for me, because I don't think he's ever going to have, like, that 112, 120, 130 target season that people might want him to have, right? Yeah. It's the same reason why, as wonderful and efficient Brandon Ayuk is, he's not a wide receiver one.
Oh, no. Never will be.
And that's kind of what you're hoping, that looking at Brandon Ayuk, you're hoping that's the ceiling for Rondale Moore, right? The way that he's used, how efficient he is, that's what you hope Rondale Moore is going to do in the NFL.
Okay, cool. Okay, no, that's super interesting because I know I don't watch college. I get most of my college player stuff from you and Ray. So, you know, it's nice to hear in these nice, short, simple terms, especially, you know, when it's me and you talking and we're not, I'm not sitting in my car listening to a podcast where I zone out because, you know, I'm driving at the time. Right. And that's sometimes that's a little important. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's move on to our next question at Jim Milner 2. Is it me or does Zamir White feel underrated? Shouldn't he be considered with the top guys in the class? No, hold on. I want to try and see if I know who I'm talking about. Doesn't he have like 3 torn ACLs?
Yes.
And if anything, I don't know how he's doing right now. That's going to keep his value down real bad.
Yes. And it's not just that, right? I think there's certainly a talent deficiency as well. And I like Zamir White. I think he's really solid. I think the most you can hope for with Zamir White is like end of day 2 capital. Because he's not going to get day 1 cap. He's not going to get round 2 capital. Like, you're hoping end of round 3 is about the best you're going to get. I think more realistically, he ends up being a day 3 guy. Just because, you know, he doesn't do anything, like, super special.
Okay.
Right? If we're looking at Travis Etienne, probably one of the fastest running backs that can also, like, you know, be a running back to come out in a very long time, right? Najee Harris, wonderful combination of speed and size, right? Not a lot of people at that size move like he does. Mm-hmm. You have Kenneth Gainwell, who catches passes extremely well and is really efficient on the ground. You have guys like Javonta Williams, who's like 2/3 of Nick Chubb, right? When it comes to like his pure running talent.
That's still pretty damn good.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. And he's probably my running back 3 in this class, right? And you keep adding like those running backs, and all of a sudden Zamir White just kind of keeps getting pushed down because he's not special, right? Zamir White 10 years ago would have been a round 2 pick,
okay,
right? Because he's just a good pure running back. But like, that's just not where the NFL is anymore.
Yeah.
You know, DeAndre Swift, who played on the exact same team as him at Georgia, like, he's special. Like, Zamir White is just another guy because, you know, sometimes he's less efficient than James Cook on that team, which is Dalvin Cook's younger brother.
No way. Cool.
I'll just sprinkle that in for you.
Yeah, I like that. I always love stuff like that. Like, it's ridiculous that Pat Surtain Jr. is going to be in the NFL. Like, that's ridiculous to me.
Yes.
all right. Next question at Zach Mullings. I saw that and like immediately went to say Mulligan. At Zach Mullings, who's going in the 3rd round that looks more bargain than bust? Conversely, how do you guide your way through a rookie draft if you don't have a 1st and 2nd from startup trades? Yeah. Okay. So let's first start this up. The first question, what are some later round guys you think have the upside of, I don't know, like, Deontay Johnson at the beginning was drafted a little later. Chase Claypool, that's why I was blanking on. You know, those guys are drafted a little later that have that ceiling.
Yeah, so I think realistically, there's a solid chance that Brevin Jordan, if you're in a non-tight end premium league, that Brevin Jordan falls to the 3rd round. I think that's realistic. So look out for Brevin Jordan. He's the tight end from Miami. Some other guys that are going to be in that range for you, Tamarian Terry, the wide receiver from Florida State, big, tall, fast. Just, you know, I don't think everything's there between the ears.
Yeah.
Javian Hawkins, the running back from Louisville. I think he's really, really exciting and not a lot of people are fans of his right now. So, I would talk about him. Anthony Schwartz, I think, is going to be really exciting because I think he's going to end up getting day 2 capital. So Anthony Schwartz is a wide receiver from Auburn because there is about a 90% chance he runs sub 4.3.
Yeah.
40. Like, he's an Olympic sprinter.
Yes. Yeah. I've read about him a little bit.
Yeah. So like, he's going to zoom and I think he's going to end up with better draft capital than his teammate Seth Williams.
Yeah, I was wondering why I haven't heard his name yet, because at least before the college season, he was a big name.
Yeah, I'm just not the biggest fan of Seth Williams because there's a lot of people that are kind of like that same size speed combo, and he's just the worst of them. Like, in that tier for me, right? So he is fast, right? When he's running a 40, he's like 4 or 5, but like he doesn't get separation like a fast receiver. He gets separation like a big receiver, and that's fine, right? If you can catch really well. But he can't, he isn't the best guy as soon as he gets his hands on the football, right? And, you know, he makes some crazy athletic catches. If you want to look at the Outback Bowl this past season when he faced Minnesota, he had an incredible, like, I think it was an 18-yard catch on the right sideline. It was in the red zone. And, like, he's athletic, and but he's just not, like, fantasy football-wise, he's going to be, like, just okay.
Okay.
Like, and to me, that's not what I want. So some other guys, just scrolling down my list here. Sage Surratt. I think Sage Surratt's going to fall a decent ways. He's a wide receiver at Wake Forest who opted out this season. And then CJ Verdell, the running back at Oregon. I think he's probably going to slip a little bit because he hasn't played the last couple games. I think there was a little spat with the coaching staff.
I was going to ask if it was injury or opt out or
neither.
Okay, that's interesting.
He ended up going to the locker room after like one or two drives, and so a lot of people are thinking like there's just something going on between he and the coach. So
never date the coach's daughter. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, CJ, don't do that. But I'll tell you my one sleeper, which I have been on him for a very long time.
Like elementary school, long time? Like creepy long time?
The past year and a half, 2 years?
Okay.
So like a good amount of time is Elijah Mitchell, the running back from Louisiana Lafayette Ragin' Cajuns. He ended up getting a Senior Bowl invite, and I think he's going to press in the Senior Bowl. I think best draft capital we can see from him is like 5th round.
Okay.
But, you know, that's someone that you can pick in the 4th, 5th round of some of your drafts.
Yeah, and we've seen that running back is doesn't always matter, draft capital. Yep. So that's actually pretty awesome. Okay, so let's get to the second question. How do you guide your way through a rookie draft if you don't have a first or a second pick? All right, my first answer would be wait to the 3rd and make your pick. it depends on how your team is set up. Most of my teams don't have draft picks, at least first or seconds, because they're just too valuable to trade away.
I'm looking at – there's another sentence that he added that separate packages, but he ended up sending the 1st and 2nd, and in return he got Devontae Adams, Miles Sanders, Austin Eckler, Will Fuller.
Like, there has to be more involved. In
right. I think he moved up in the startup.
Okay, so here's – okay, well, Fuller kind of sucks a little bit now, but here's my thing. With that as the core of your team – don't worry about rookie drafts right now.
Exactly.
Go get some vets you know we're going to score points. Let these other people take the risk and go win a championship or two. I mean, those guys are all young, and if anyone tells you that Devontae Adams is old, slap them in the face. Like, he is literally in his prime. He's to me, the unquestioned wide receiver 1, and I think it's silly that people are putting Justin Jefferson up there. And, I mean, I'm a Seahawks fan. DK Metcalf should not be the wide receiver 1. It should, to me, easily be Adams, and I can be convinced right now that Tyreek is 2.
Yeah, like I don't blame you. I think when we look at this guy's team, I think it's probably that I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
And if there's someone that falls to you in the 3rd, like I'm probably trying to shop that pick if there's someone there that someone wants, and then I can trade that for a vet.
Yeah, like if your league is that tight end premium, when you get to that little run of that string of tight ends, someone's going to want to overpay a little bit for them, because everyone wants, like you were saying, everyone wants that next tight end that's going to hit. And Deontay Johnson is just pulling up with some sort of leg injury. That's cool. So that's bad for both of us. Okay, never mind. He's limping back on the field. So first, don't do anything. If you feel like you need to, what you do is you take...
No. Never feel like you need to make a trade.
Well, right? No. I mean, you're talking to me. Yeah. Like,
but like if you have this core, like never feel like you need to get back in the rookie draft. Like, because you're going to have to pay, especially as we get closer to the rookie draft, you're going to have to keep paying more and more and more for these picks. And you're going to end up losing the edge that you sold your 1st and 2nd round picks for.
Yeah. What I was going to say is, what you're going to do is you're not going to want to make a splash trade. You're not going to want to sell. Man, if you can get a first or a second for Fuller, I'd probably do that at this point. But like, you're not going to want to trade Eckler for a first and a second to get back in. What you're going to want to try and do is take those thirds. If you have more than one, that'd be great. Take your lower tier guys that might be bye week fill-ins, but are just on your bench because you have that solid core. That guy in a third to get you into the second and a fourth to move you up a little, like a couple picks. Make those smaller moves to get you up closer to where the juice of this draft is. Don't like Kane just said. I got a little too excited. Like Kane just said, you don't want to ruin the good trades you made. You don't want to ruin the advantage you've given yourself. Make the smaller moves that won't hurt your team, but still helps another team, which is why they're willing to do these moves, to slowly move yourself up. But the real answer is, which, you know, hashtag brand is a little on edge on this one, you don't have to. Sit out the rookie draft. Win. Winning is worth it. Winning is why we do this during the point scoring season. Yeah, I think that's good. So Noah Schultz at Schultz N26. Aw, he says, hi, Kane.
hi.
If the Bucks let Godwin walk and somehow draft Rashad Bateman in the second round, will they become your favorite team behind the Vikings?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. That was nice and easy.
They have Rashad Bateman and Tyler Johnson. Hard not to.
Yeah, right.
Oh, and Antoine Winfield Jr., who is their safety. So three Gophers on one team. Yeah.
Speaking of children of players, man, I feel like Glenn Tewivel wasn't playing that long ago, but I'm sure it probably was like 10 years ago at this point. He had a second part to that. I know this has been talked about before, but can you guys go over the pros and cons of no trade deadline?
Yeah, pro, it's more fun.
Okay. No.
Less fun if you don't have it.
I'm not going to fully get into it because we'll be talking about it for the next hour. But here's my thing about no trade deadlines. Everyone's biggest problem is that everyone believes people are going to all of a sudden. Gio was good. Like, why didn't they ever just try and ride Gio? Why did they always feel the need to bring in someone else?
Because he's not special.
It doesn't matter. Do you need to be?
Yeah. On a team like the Bengals, yes.
Well, yeah.
Did Andy Dalton for 92 years.
It's been 84 years.
It's been 84 years. but I know exactly what you're saying, right? You're saying that, like, if people are trying to say all the time that, like, collusion's going to happen, right, as you get closer to the championship. But guess what? If collusion was going to happen, it already would have.
Yep. And it's not even that. It's like they think that there's a very big difference because I – freaking Auden Tate, you look like T. Higgins. he's just a large man. blank. Okay, so everyone's biggest argument is people are going to start making terrible trades. People are going to start completely destroying their future to buy these players and then abandon their team. All of these things, A, are league mate problems. These are not trade problems. This has nothing to do with the deadline. This is you having bad people in your league. And that guy is going to need to get kicked out sooner or later anyway for doing dumb crap like that. Like your collusion argument, that's exactly what it is. Sooner or later, he's going to do something stupid. So it doesn't matter that it has to do with the trade deadline. And here's like I said before, if you're selling a player to a competing team in the playoffs, you should be getting more. You're not going to be selling these guys for nothing. So no deadline. While everyone's afraid of people buying championships, not having a deadline is better to help bad teams get equity. It helps them build value. Like my team lost and I was able to sell DeAndre Hopkins. Man, if there wasn't a trade deadline in Capitalist Pigs, I could have sold Tony Pollard for a fortune this week or even next week. I honestly don't even know why Zeke missed the game. All I saw was that Zeke's out, and I'm like, oh, Pollard in. But besides the point, like, it stops teams from bettering themselves. And I get it was like, oh, it's just 3 weeks. You should dance with the girl that got you there or something like that. Why? Why? Tell me why. Tell me why we should live with injuries when we don't have to.
Well, it ain't nothing but a heartbreak, you know? You said tell me why, so I had to. anytime we can talk Backstreet Boys, like
I promise you, I would start listening to Tay Tay. I haven't yet, but I definitely will, so I can start working.
Taylor's new album slaps. I'm telling you, like I've really enjoyed her new album. Also, the last one was really good too. Folklore was also good. Maybe I'm just a Taylor Swift fan.
I've literally never listened to any Taylor Swift song that I haven't heard from a movie. So I don't even really know what her real music sounds like, because I'm sure she has good songs that are not just the ones from the radio.
Yeah, and this stuff is like much different than what she's done in the past. So,
all right, well, so but right, what we're going to do is we are just going to stop talking and play it while we're recording, and so we're just going to sit here listening to Taylor Swift. That's going to be the next 40 minutes of this podcast.
I like it.
Okay. All right, sorry, were you going to say something?
But you're completely right on, right? You know, in the league, right, let's say that I have Wayne Gallman or Montgomery. Like, I can sell David Montgomery more for more right now than I could have at any point during the season.
In his rookie draft.
Right, then, like, so why not, like, try and capitalize on that?
And he's
like,
not going to keep that value.
Premium. It's not, we're not saying that, like, oh, now you have to sell everyone for cheap just because you want them off your team. Like, that's not what we're saying at all. Like, it's okay to sell Wayne Gallman for a late second or a third round pick. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, get value for what you can and start building your team, right? Like, holding on to some of these guys that aren't going to have value other than one or two games, right? Let's say you have Lev Bell. Right, like we talked about earlier, like I'm never going to keep Lev Bell on my roster next year if I'm rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
So why not try and sell him for a third round pick?
Exactly. And like the other side of that is we always think that we bought this player to win a championship. What if they don't do well? Like you brought up Wayne Gallman. We're going to talk about me buying him, playing him, and losing the game.
Right.
Not necessarily because of him, but he helped, you know, like didn't help, I should say. Like he helped me lose. Like we assume we know who's going to win, help us win. We aren't great at that. I mean,
it's luck.
Yeah. A lot of it, like Wayne Gallman has been great since the past, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. He sucked this game and I lost in the playoffs because of it. I mean, you can go and spend a first and a second on David Montgomery right now because he's been killing it and he can still walk away with 6 points next week and lose you a championship. So, I mean, like that's the other side. I don't think anyone sees. They just like probably got burned once and just refused to let go of that anger. Like whenever someone like goes in so hard against it, I want to send like a hug GIF and be like, just tell me who hurt you.
Right.
like that's my biggest problem. Like John Hoke said, one of like the best things ever. It's like, there are many arguments to have no trade deadline, but there are only arguments against not having a trade deadline. There's no arguments for having a deadline. It's just being against there not being one.
So here's I put out some random tweet of like, what is your favorite rule in one of your leagues? Right. And obviously mine is no trade deadline. I don't think you should ever have a trade deadline. But one guy, I just want to get your take on this real quick. Like he sent me this and I've been thinking about it since he sent it like 4 days ago.
Yeah.
That he said that after a trade is accepted, it doesn't actually go through on the site. They make it known to the chat and then you have 24 hours to make a better offer.
I love this. I tried in the original Trade Addicts League to get this in and everyone was so damn against it that I just said I gave up on it. I want this in a league or two because I hate the phrase, oh, I would have paid more when a trade goes through.
So why didn't you?
Exactly. It is Cole Beasley got sold for a third in a league that I was in the playoffs and I was so mad. But I was mad at myself for not trying. Like exactly. That's really what it comes down to. But that people will be upset because you can't get away with stuff anymore. And that's part of it, right? Like I've stopped doing this because so many people just throw my own words against me. Like my first offer isn't always my best. Like it's just the truth because right. Why not see if you can get a good deal on something, you know, especially
that's if not I don't, what I do, but
I know like
it's not offers right away.
Oh, see, I mean,
it's like, if you don't, it's like, that's my best offer. Like, I'm not, especially if it's for a really good player, right? Like, I'm trying to trade for Trevor Lawrence. I'm giving you Burrow and the 201. Like, that's a strong offer coming in. Would I accept it? Probably not.
No, that's a good offer. But like, would you coming, willing to pay a little more?
Yeah, like, but I'm coming in, like, real hot. Like, I'm not coming in, like, oh, I'll give you Deontay Johnson for Trevor Lawrence. Like, people are like, get out of here.
Okay, yeah, no, that's bad. But, I mean, I'm, like, I'm in between those two, to be honest. And also, it depends who I'm dealing with. If it's, you know, just for fun, I'm bored, and I'm sending out offers, they'll be a little lower than if I'm trying hard to get at someone.
Sure.
Yeah. But no, I love, like, I think that sounds fun, the idea of it being an open forum after a trade gets accepted. It will be good consistently for the person willing to sell people, because you will kind of always get top dollar. Like, you will, and it's really funny because there's a lot of times where I've gotten the question, somebody sent me this offer, and honestly, I'll probably accept it, but is it wrong of me to go ask other people? No. That's good business. Someone's like, you send me Joe Burrow in the 201 for Trevor Lawrence. It's absolutely nothing wrong if I, you know, go call up Rocky and see what he'd be willing to pay. Like, I don't think it's cool to be like, hey, Kane just offered me Joe Burrow in the 201. You want to beat that?
That's the part I have an issue with.
That I don't like, but just asking what you can get from someone else is good business.
You know, I don't remember who I was trading with. I think I was trading with someone in the TA leagues. I think it might have been you, where I was like, I ended up trading you David Montgomery, but I put in the chat like, hey, I'm moving David Montgomery today. Like, I'm never going to kiss and tell, right? I'm never going to say what you offered, but like, I'm going to say like, David Montgomery's moving today.
Yep.
If you want to pay for him, come and get him. But I already have a deal that will be accepted by the end of today.
Right. And even if you leave that last part out, that's going to, like, if, especially with David Montgomery in the situation we were in, like, I think I did up my offer at that point. Where I was like, no, I don't want someone else to get him. I want this guy on my team. Like, I think my original offer was, are you serious, Ryan Finley? You're going to run in a freaking touchdown? I can't believe I'm not going to win. I think I originally offered you a first and a second. No, it was my early first. I can't remember what it was, but regardless, I changed my offer a bit to make it a little more enticing for you to take. And
that's leverage. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. And the person who receives the trade is in the power seat, pretty much, because you could just be like, yeah, or you could be like, no, how about this? You give me more. And the person has to be like, I want that guy. That's why I sent this offer. Am I going to do that? And you know, sometimes you get a counter. Sometimes they just accept your counter. But like, receiving that offer is that place of power. So that's why I think it is kind of great to be able to just put it out in the open. I absolutely 100% don't want every league like that, but I still think it's a fun idea for a few.
I think I'm going to end up like putting together another Twitter thread, because you know I do these every now and again, right? It's like, how do you focus on trading, right? Like, do you send an offer first? Do you think that, you know, you need to talk to the person first, right? You know me. I just send you a message, say, hey, sent you a trade. You probably won't like it.
Yeah.
You know, but at least like you send an offer and you send it through the system.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And remember, that was for Tonyan, and it wasn't really that far off. We ended up getting a deal like in one counter.
but it happened in the system, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the way that it works. And like, but to just, this is why we see the same thing over and over again, right? That we hear all the time. It's like, oh, we accepted it in a chat, but it wasn't accepted through the website, so it doesn't really matter. It's like, well, that's correct.
Yes, that is another often question.
One, right, you should stick to your word, because you know the only thing you have is your word.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole different philosophical discussion that we can get into about existentialism if we want to go down that road. Well, right,
we sort of started there, right?
Yeah, we did start that about Jalen Hurts, right? But this idea that like the system is the thing that controls the teams, right? Like that's what is a record holder. It's not a chat. It's not any of those things, right? So, you know, I think it's always better to send it through the system and whatever happens, happens. Like I'll send eight trades out to eight different teams and they all, if they all wanted to decline, that's fine. Like that's fantasy football.
Yeah. We have Nick Martinez in the chat completely agreeing with everything you're saying right now, just so you know.
Love it.
I completely forgot. In the cool kids chat? Hmm?
In the cool kids chat?
No, in the chat for the YouTube.
Oh, gotcha.
Because the cool kids can watch us. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can watch us live record right now. And like Nick often does, jump in on the talk so we talk about you. But also, like Kane mentioned, there's the Cool Kids Club, our GroupMe chat, where you can hang out with people like me and Kane and Nick Martinez. What were you talking about? Trades. Okay, yes. So like we said before, you said it best, like your word is what you have. And I was talking before about good business and bad business. Like it's good business to go shopping. It's bad business to straight up say the offer itself. It is bad business to accept a trade in a chat and not go through with it. But that's your damn choice. If that is a trade is official when it's done in the site. That is a lot of people ask me that question on Twitter and it's the same every single time. That's awesome. He accepted it in a chat. You have screenshots. That's awesome. Okay. There's nothing you could do about that. It was never in the system. The system is what we play on, you know. And if there's any commish that's going to push through a trade because it was accepted in a chat, you're overstepping your bounds.
Or it has to be in the bylaws, right? If I know okay, some people yes, have yeah. bylaws, okay. right? That if it's accepted in the chat, then that's binding. And that's completely fine, right? That's when rule your bylaws, rules, yeah. right? That's what matters.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're a guy like me that grew up in a really, really small town, like, and you grew up poor, like I did, like, your word is all you have, right? And so I think the quickest way to get me out of a league, right? If you're like, God, I hate having Kane in a league, do this twice. The first time I'll forgive it. The second time I'll leave. And it's not accepting it in the chat. I don't really care about that, right? Because I know the system is what matters. Mm-hmm. Is if you tell my trade or whatever I sent you to the chat, you do that once, I'll forgive it. You do it a second time, I'm leaving the league.
Yeah, Har is the exact same way. He hates when stuff gets like stuff that shouldn't be public goes public like that.
You don't kiss and tell.
Yeah.
What, like, that's, it's a discussion. That doesn't mean that that's the ending spot.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason why there's a button called counter. Right? It's not like reject, accept. Like, there's a reject and counter option on MFL, right? And you can utilize that. It doesn't mean that it's like cut and dry. Like you can just counter and like, I'm more thinking this. And they say no. And it's like, cool. Your values are just different. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean like you should go to the chat and be like, hey, this is what this person sent me. It was a shit trade offer. And then like, that's not okay.
That's not okay.
Nope.
Okay. So we have two more questions and well, we've been going for an hour. Some dude at Real Fantasy TL, that sounds made up, I don't know. Who are some of the players that you are targeting early or late that you don't hear people talking about too often? All right, you already kind of answered that, right?
Some people earlier, I think Rashad Bateman is probably a guy that kind of seems to be falling right now in Devy circles. And I'm not 100%. What's that?
Okay. Sorry, I asked you the question you were answering when you said it. I asked if there was a reason why he was dropping, and then you said you can't think of a reason why.
So, yeah, he had shit quarterback play. Like, Tanner Morgan played his worst stretch of football, like, the first few games of this season. Right? It's the same reason why we're not going to hold... did Juju just do something?
Yeah, sorry, buddy. I wasn't going to tell you. I didn't want to break it to you.
What'd he do?
Well, it was a big catch. Sorry, bud.
No. This is not what I wanted to hear right now.
Yeah. T. Higgins hasn't caught a ball this half, and it's 8.5 minutes left in the fourth.
All right. So that means I'm going to lose in two leagues.
Oh, you idiot. Bengals just let an interception go right through their hands. Though I guess that helps all the Ben Roethlisberger shares have, that it doesn't matter because I don't really have any games riding on that. Okay, so you gave Rashad Bateman, which is...
Yeah, so I'm, you know, he just had bad quarterback play. It's the same reason why we're not, you know, basically holding George Pickens to his games early this season when Stetson Bailey couldn't throw farther than 5 yards down the field, right? So Rashad Bateman is going to break every analytics thing that you could want. If you're an analytics person, he has terrific film. So I don't know what else you could do. Like, he's not the most flashy guy, I guess. He's not going to run like a 4.3 like Jalen Waddle. Mm-hmm. And he's not like super shifty in the open field like Rondale Moore, but like, he's probably the safest wide receiver of that first tier.
What do you think would be a good landing spot for him? Okay.
You know what? That's a great question.
A little earlier, where do you think he's going to get drafted?
End of the first round.
Okay, you think he'll go in the first?
Yes.
Okay, so we are talking... You want him to go to the Bills?
No.
Do you want him to go to the Cardinals?
Cardinals would be okay. Saints, I think, would be a good landing spot.
Okay. Trying to think of Rams.
That'd be an okay landing spot, just not really what they utilize.
Okay. I'm just trying. It's sad that I can't think of playoff teams at the top of my head.
Like Indianapolis would be a really nice fit.
Him and Pittman.
Jacksonville, getting him with their second first-round pick.
Oh, yeah, true. They have more than one.
To go alongside Trevor Lawrence, I think, would be real nice. The Jets, I think, would be an okay landing spot, provided that they get a quarterback or just a new coach. Tennessee, I think he would fit in really nicely in Corey Davis's spot.
Right. Cool.
Green Bay, I think you would fit in really well in Green Bay.
Yeah, so there's wide receiver 3 behind Alan Lazard, right?
Wide receiver 4 behind Equanimee St. Brown.
Okay, I think, yes, last question. Ryan at Dynasty Legs. I'd like to hear more about QBs not named Lawrence or Fields, potential landing spots, chances of having immediate fantasy value.
Right. So if we're talking about these quarterbacks, the first thing we need to look at is pick number 4, which I think is actually the most important pick in the NFL draft, because it's basically going to dictate how the top 10 is going to go. Because it's Carolina. So if Carolina goes a quarterback, that means that Dallas is pretty much out on a quarterback. And San Francisco's probably not going to get a quarterback. Denver's probably not going to get a quarterback. Right? Like, not all those teams can get a quarterback then if Carolina's taking one. The chances that Zach Wilson is going to fall to, like, New England at 15 is never going to happen.
Or so you think 4 QBs in the top 14?
Yes.
Okay. So
especially if one's going to Carolina at 4, that means that we're going probably more short. Quarterback, offensive line quarterback.
Okay, so do you think the talent actually dictates that, or do you think it's going to be a need, supply-demand thing? Like, do you think... Yeah. Okay, I was going to ask if you think Lance or Wilson actually belong in the top half of the first round.
I think Trey Lance, his ceiling, same with Zach Wilson, right? The ceiling dictates that he should be a first-round pick, okay. But I don't think it dictates that he should be, you know, a top 10 pick. Okay. I'm just not there yet. But I think, you know... We all know that quarterbacks can go wherever. Christian Ponder went at pick 7. So, you know, like, but it's one of those things, right? Like, you never know where the quarterback's going to go. Like, Jake Locker got drafted, like, what, top 10? And ended up going to, like, the Titans?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it happens. Like, the quarterback, it's so important to have a good quarterback that it kind of pushes everything else out the window. So that's, they're 2 quarterbacks there. So that's Zach Wilson from BYU and Trey Lance from North Dakota State. whose parents live not too far away from me, because obviously I live in Marshall, where Trey Lance's hometown. Some other quarterbacks, probably my quarterback 5 and 6 would be Kyle Trask from Florida and Mac Jones, the quarterback from Alabama. I think Kyle Trask and Mac Jones are really, really similar prospects. Both aren't going to have the strongest arm. They kind of throw behind the receivers when they're going really deep down the field, right? There's not a lot of passes where you're seeing like Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith still being in stride 50 yards down the field, right? They have to slow a little bit for the catch.
Which is why I think it's ridiculous that people didn't think that Tua would need a few minutes to adjust from that.
Right. It's like, oh, there's like people are not within 5 yards of your receiver.
Like most teams, Tua would still have played with better wide receivers in college.
Yes. Benny Snell touchdown, baby.
I'll take it.
But you know what I mean? It's like, so this idea that Mac Jones is an elite prospect just because of his wide receivers, I think is a bit of a farce. I know some people have him as high as like quarterback 3 in this class, which is straight up bananas to me. But I think Mac Jones and Kyle Trask are really similar prospects. They have solid accuracy. Both don't have the strongest arm. I think Kyle Trask just deals with pressure better than Mac Jones does. Mac Jones, right, look at the first half of the Arkansas game, look at the first half of the Georgia game when he's actually feeling pressure and he was playing really, really poorly. Mm-hmm. Right, but that's what happens when you don't deal with pressure often at Alabama. Because the production's really, really good. There's a reason why he can throw it 50 yards down the field, because there's no one near him, right? Like, it's easier to throw 50 yards down the field than when there isn't a defender in the backfield.
So do you think, San Francisco can grab one of those guys at the top of the second? Because they don't really seem to throw the ball deep very often anyway. They care more about accuracy. They could, you know, that West Coast-y kind of offense. Do you think that's a good fit for Shanahan?
I think it's okay. I think actually Trask or Lance or Wilson just fits better in that offense, just because I think it would give him another wrinkle of that run game to have a guy that is really mobile. I think one guy that would be super interesting is Desmond Ridder, the quarterback from Cincinnati. Some people are saying that he's a second round pick. I see him more of as a third round pick. But I think he'd be really, really exciting to a team that wants to use his rushing ability. Cause he's really, really exciting. He's the reason why, or most of the reason why, other than that incredible Cincinnati Bearcat defense, that he's the reason why Cincinnati was undefeated.
Nice. Okay, so let's ask the other part of this question. So Field and Lawrence go 1-2. We're just going to pretend that's in stone at this point. Now, you listed all of these teams that are top 15-ish that need quarterbacks. Which would you be excited for Lance and Wilson to go to?
Carolina.
All right, so you'd be which one? Which of those quarterbacks? You don't care?
Yeah, or, you know, a wild scenario that I put out on Twitter, what if the Jets end up going with an offensive lineman and rolling with Sam Darnold? Right, and Carolina ends up with Justin Fields. I think then at that point,
God, you're talking, like, I never even thought of that.
Right, then you're talking like, what if, is Justin Fields now the 101 because he's with a better offensive system in Carolina than Trevor Lawrence is with Jacksonville? I think then you have a conversation about who should actually be the 101.
My mind has just been blown and I don't appreciate it.
I'm here to help.
That's awesome. No, I love that because I love the, it's boring when it's so set in stone, right? Like, I love the entry, like, in the Darnold and Baker year, not knowing who was going to go 101 was fun, because a lot of the years we know. And when there was that intrigue up literally until the pick, it was in draft night where everyone's like, no, they're taking Baker. Like, this is going to happen. And we're just like, no, they're taking Darnold. Come on. And like that's fun. That's awesome. But it's just like, Lawrence and Fields, that's fine. But, oh, man, I would love a shakeup, especially because we will absolutely be going into fantasy drafts, rookie drafts, like, okay, we know Lawrence and Fields. And then if so, something like that happens, we're just like, oh, I mean, I get that it's still a quarterback, but then you start getting nervous. And that's when, let's just put it out, if that does happen and you have the 101, trade back to the 102. Because you can get a very strong pick on top of it, and you still get a great quarterback regardless.
Yeah, I think the really, really exciting part then is, what does Cincinnati do at 3? They could take the best offensive lineman in the draft and like Penei Sewell if he doesn't go two. Do they trade back and just acquire draft capital for a team that is kind of close to being solid? Not necessarily like playoff bound, but like being, you know, back to that 8-8 that Bengals fans love so much.
That's what the owners love so much. It's funny, like I never really assumed that NFL teams do the trade back thing. Like it's just old men don't do that. And that seems to be a lot of what the retreads in the NFL GMs are.
Well, you know, and you have what the Vikings traded back one pick with the Browns in like whenever Trent Richardson was a rookie, right?
Mm-hmm.
They traded back one pick, ended up getting an extra third. And still got Matt Khalil, the same guy that they were going to take before, right? So I think, you know, not everyone's going to trade back, especially when they're in the top of this draft, because I don't think it's that people aren't trying to trade back. I don't think people are willing to give up the prices that someone wants to trade back.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because they're paying an arm and a leg. I guess when Denver took Bradley Chubb, I don't remember what year that was. Same year that Josh Allen was a quarterback. They actually had a deal in place with the Bills that if like one of three players wasn't there, that the Bills were going to trade up into that spot. But Bradley Chubb still ended up being there. So they took him rather than trading with the Bills. So like a lot of that is kind of already in place by draft day that a lot of people don't really think about.
I wish there was like open book policy where we get to see all of this stuff that almost happened, because that's so freaking interesting to me.
So one thing I will say is like, that's when you need to like follow like beat writers, right? So I only found that out because I follow Benjamin Albright, who is one of the Broncos guys. So like he put that out on Twitter and I was like, that's like super, super interesting, right? Like that's what I want to hear more about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, when you're a Vikings fan and you just see how excited in the war room they were when Justin Jefferson was still there at pick 23. And I believe it was Spielman that said out loud, I can't believe it. They took Rager.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, it is very clear on their board, right, who was higher. So, I just think that's so interesting. The fact that they already have like these deals in place that most of us don't ever realize. It's exactly. Like, oh, there's no movement, but like they've been talking all day and for weeks leading up to the draft that sure, they're not going to be like super transparent and be like, yo, if Bradley Chubb's still there, we're not going to trade back.
Yeah.
Right. But I think at some point they're saying like, if our guy is still there, we're going to take him. If not, the pick is yours for this agreed upon deal. And from what I've heard, like there's a lot of that in place before we even know about it. And almost 90% of it we'll never know.
Yes.
What was in place, right?
Sucks.
And I was hearing that there was some stuff with the Dolphins and if Tua wasn't there.
Ooh.
That they would have traded back.
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay. Okay, so we are going for like an hour and a half already, so let's do some Trade Addicts trades real quick before we get out of here and before I lose my crap that Ryan Finley has 7 completions for 80 yards or something like that the entire game and I'm going to lose. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75 points per tight end reception with 0.05 points for return yardage except for Trade Addicts 1. Whew, okay. So we have Trade Addicts 1 where someone traded for Wayne Gallman and that didn't work out for them. So Wayne Gallman for Darnell Mooney and a 4th.
Give me Mooney.
Yeah, that was me. That sucked.
Well, I get it, right? You need the running back to make the push for the playoffs.
Yeah, and I needed to try and stop Spoonie from getting his three-peat, which clearly I did not do. And Spoonie is getting into the championship for the 3rd time in a row. And he's going to get a freaking turkey, in which case I'm just going to close the league down.
Sure.
I'm not going to, but yeah. Weirdly enough, we had another Darnell Mooney involved trade, so we're just going to jump to that in Trade Addicts 3. Drew Brees, a 4th and a 5th for Darnell Mooney and an early 3rd.
If I'm competing, obviously I want Drew Brees, but if I'm not competing, I want Darnell Mooney in the early 3rd. and just start to rebuild.
Yep, exactly. You know, perfect. Okay, so here's one I wanted to talk about that I probably should have brought up when we were talking about him. Carson Wentz for Kenyon Drake and Marquise Hallmark Brown.
Carson Wentz, not very close for me.
Okay, first I want to point out that clearly Scott Sidlow got to Marquise Brown, because as soon as the nickname Hallmark Brown came out on this podcast, he's been catching like 8 for 90 for like 3 weeks in a row. So thank you, Scott, for making this happen, because I have a lot of shares. So these are what? This is what, two early seconds for Carson Wentz? Is that what you think this kind of balances out to?
I think Kenyon Drake's going for an early second right now.
You don't think so? I mean, he shouldn't, but I still think he does.
I wouldn't pay an early second for him. I'd pay like a late second, early third. That's about the best that I'm paying, because he's not under contract next year.
No, I mean, you're doing that to win this year, though.
But Chase Edmonds is getting more touches, so.
Well, he only did this week because Drake missed time getting hurt, but Drake's still unfortunate. Like, for some reason, they're still giving Drake touches, even though Edmonds is clearly better.
I'm fine with it, right? If that's what you want to do.
If I had these players that were expendable on my team, I would send that to go get Carson Wentz for next year. Yeah. Like, to me, that's a great price. That was another TradeX one. So let's go to TradeX 5, where a competing team sent Christian McCaffrey for Jonathan Taylor. Now, do you believe Christian McCaffrey comes back healthy in the non-point scoring season and is the RB1 again? Not even like point. I just mean dynasty value wise.
Yes.
You think he just walks right back in? Like, because I don't think there's anyone that did well enough to take that away. Is really what I think it comes down to.
Alvin Kamara was making a really strong case, and then we saw what he looks like without Drew Brees.
Yes.
We got really, really scared.
Yes, rightfully so. I mean, okay, don't get me wrong. Like, there's going to be difference with a full off season of game plan for Taysom Hill as the quarterback, as opposed to getting thrown in the middle of the year. Like, that's why Jameis Winston stepped in that first game when Brees got hurt, because they were not ready for Taysom Hill to be their quarterback.
Right.
So I think that the offense will be very different if they go an entire offseason with the thought that Taysom Hill will be their quarterback. But with that high of a value, that high of a draft capital, I would be way too worried to buy Kamara for what he would need to be bought with.
Yeah, so, I think you're basically to buy Jonathan Taylor there, you have to say that he's a top five running back for the rest of his rookie deal.
Do you think that's out of the?
Yes.
Do you think that is that out of reality? Is that not reality that you don't think he can be top five for the next like 2 years?
I don't think he's necessarily going to.
Well, yeah. I mean, but do you think it's in the realm of possibility? Do you think he's good enough for that to happen in the situation that he's in?
Like, sure.
Let's say they get Wentz and Rashad Bateman.
Yeah, it could happen.
I'm just dreaming here. That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I don't.
This wasn't me or anything. This wasn't my trade or anything. I would
say it's more than 50% realistic.
Okay. I saw this and I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, I get that if you want to win, because winning's worth it, right? And McCaffrey's not going to help you win. I didn't ask. Like, I would have loved to have seen if there was talk or if the McCaffrey owner just sent this out to try and get a running back. It's not my business, so I didn't really ask. But let's move on. DeAndre Hopkins for Chris Godwin in an early second.
DeAndre Hopkins by quite a large margin.
That kind of sucks, because I sold DeAndre Hopkins for Chris Godwin in an early second.
Yeah, Chris Godwin's not under contract this next season.
I'm fine with that. I think he goes... no matter where he goes, I think he's fine. I think he's that good, and I think he'll have to get paid the amount of money that a team will have to involve him.
But you're giving away one of like the 8 or 9 elite wide receivers.
I made the playoffs with a terrible. It's not a bad team because I was like top five in scoring, but I don't think I'm definitely retooling this team. Let me say I'm not going into full on rebuild. So gaining those like 6 years back meant a lot to me. Let me put that that way. And I'm gonna hopefully try and trade Godwin. What the hell was that? Something just made noise.
And I
don't, I don't know what it was. I'm really freaked out right now. So we're just going to keep talking and pretend like it never happened. So my goal is to hopefully flip Godwin because I love Godwin, the player. I like getting guys on free when their contract is up because there's always that. I don't think they lose too much value unless something really bad happens.
I would sell Godwin for Will Fuller in a second.
Wow. Really? Okay, well, now I feel bad about myself. We're going to move on.
Well, that's just me. I'm also high on Will Fuller.
Yeah, but my worry is the only reason he stayed healthy was because of the PEDs.
Hey, smoke them if you got them.
Until the NFL says you're allowed to. So here's Trade Addict 7. Saquon Barkley and a late third for Ronald Jones, Kenny Galladay, and a mid-first.
I'm probably taking Saquon there.
This was also before Rojo got thrown on the COVID list, and I was hoping I could flip him to a playoff team.
Yeah, it's really close, though. Like, you know how much I love Kenny Galladay.
Yes, and that's really why I did it. This is the team I got the 1-on-1 in. And if I was smart, I would have held on to Barkley, but I don't have patience for that. So Galladay in the first was really my goal, and I'm hoping I could flip Rojo because I don't know what that running situation like. Sorry, go ahead.
Maybe Rojo gets off the list for this next week.
That's my hope, and I'm hoping I'll be able to flip him because he's been producing like crazy. Next, Jared Goff and Miles Sanders for Kyler Murray.
Oh, what now?
Jared Goff and Miles Sanders for Kyler Murray.
Oh, I love Jared Goff so much, and it's the worst kind of love because all he does is hurt me.
I struggled with this a lot.
Kyler Murray for me, probably.
I got Kyler, and I think there was like a 22-second on Kyler's with the Kyler side also, which was really just like, look, you're thinking about it. Here, just take this pick if that'll make you take it. I'm like, I was pretty close to taking it anyway, fine. This is, again, that same team where I'm trying to rebuild, and if I'm going to rebuild for real, I'm getting rid of my running backs and getting whatever value I can. And again, my hope is that I...
1-1, right?
Yes. And
yeah, so give me Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray.
And I have Daniel Jones also. So Daniel I have... Daniel
Jones. I love it.
So yeah, I have 3 strong, and if I do just get antsy like I always tend to do, and like I said before, I love downgrading quarterbacks, I'll probably sell Kyler at some point in the offseason. Don't sell him?
I wouldn't, because at least I wouldn't sell him until right before the season starts, because we're going to like hit this whole lull, right, of like where Kyler's going to go down a couple ranks because some people are going to say that Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are over him. And then, you know, as soon as the season starts, right before the season starts, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, Kyler Murray's still really good. Like, he should still be, like, your quarterback 3 or 4. And it's like, oh, you mean, like, where we've had him the whole time, but, like, you decided to, like, say no? You know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing that happens every year, right?
Yeah.
This, like, back and forth on players. And Kyler Murray was up to, like, the quarterback 3. And I don't know if he's performed as necessarily the dynasty quarterback 3, but like he's pretty darn close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think if I was going to trade or if I was going to like go down a little bit, I would see if I can get Deshaun Watson plus a little.
Ooh.
So I think Kyler Murray is actually higher than Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I would try that.
And I would be like, you give me even like Deshaun Watson and like a second, or like Deshaun Watson and Zach Moss, even though I hate Zach Moss, or, you know, like one of those players that's kind of in that range. Like,
I was about to say, give me a second, I'll tell you why that trade is impossible, because the next trade is JD McKissick in a 4th for Zach Moss.
And sadly, I'm going to take the Zach Moss side, even though I don't like it.
Neither do I, but I took it anyway, because McKissick is not going to be anything.
No.
And Zach Moss will at least be something, right?
And I ended up trading JD McKissick for a Devy second. Like,
you gotta get something for it, yeah. And right now Zach Moss is the best running back on my team.
So I actually have a team just like that where Zach Moss is the best running back on my team.
Oh, twinsies.
Or if Gio Bernard, if you want to count that.
He's looking pretty damn good in this game. I can't believe the Steelers are gonna lose again. Like, that's
oh my god, I couldn't sell Gio in this league. Couldn't sell him for a second, couldn't sell him for a third.
Wow, you figure someone would. Against the Steelers. I guess like the process but over results, I guess.
When Gio or when Joe Mixon went out right away.
Oh, like okay. Yeah. Even now, like if you should have hunted down the Connor, if the Connor owner was still in the playoffs, try to see if you can get sell him to Gio since Connor just got announced out.
Yeah, and people just don't want to trade me any more picks in this league. I get that. That's not wild. I have 5 first round picks, 3 second round picks.
Yeah, I love the those kind of leagues. I have one where I went productive struggle. So I have Tua, Antonio Gibson, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, and 5 firsts, 3 seconds. So that team's gonna be fun.
Yeah, like I enjoy teams like that, right? And like looking at the roster, you're like, oh, my team sucks.
Nope.
Because like all you're seeing is like TJ Hockenson and Deontay Johnson. And you're like, ooh.
I need more TJ Hockenson shares, but now they're probably too expensive for me to buy.
I couldn't sell him because people were just sending me not great offers. Like Shane was probably the only one that was actually sending me like solid offers. At one point, he sent me Akers and Mims.
That's a really strong offer.
But it's in that 2-point PPR for tight end league.
Mm-hmm. I guess if you believe in Akers, then I guess.
But that was like just as Akers got hurt.
Oh, gotcha. So it was a while ago. Okay.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't. And then he just sent me Akers straight up. And I was like a week ago, you just sent me Akers and Mims.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, come on.
But what if you got Akers and Mims for Hawk right now? Would that change?
Probably.
Okay. So if you're listening, Shane, I know you're listening, Shane.
All right. If you're listening, when you listen.
When you listen, damn straight. I would
accept that trade if you're feeling frisky.
Ooh, speaking of frisky, that's the end of our show sheets. That's the end of our show. That really has nothing to do with being frisky, but I just figured I'd use it anyway. Thank you, Kane, for coming on. What's up?
If you got it, flaunt it, you know. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for having me on. It's always fun to just to talk some more football. My wife is at the point where she just doesn't want to hear it anymore, so it's nice that I can talk to someone else about it.
Well, Whitney is a saint for even putting up with it a little bit. My wife does not.
And by like putting up with a little bit, it's like she randomly walks in like as I'm watching either film on like the TV or my computer or something. And she's like, who's that? And I was like, it's this team versus this team. She goes, okay. And then walks out of the room. Like that's about the level of participation I get.
Again, more than me. I mean, I don't watch tape or anything, but like, she just sort of scoffs anytime she sees football on the screen.
Yeah, she doesn't necessarily scoff, but like when one of my really good friends, right, that she's good friends with too, we're in a dynasty league together. So every time we like talk on the phone or something, and like it's on speakerphone because we're all friends, and we just end up talking about fantasy football, and she goes, "This is the worst."
Poor Whit. Okay, so. Why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Devi_Kane. Our podcast is the Devi Marketplace Podcast. It's a fun look at Devi players because we look at it a little differently than any other podcast. We're just looking at values, and we're just trying to understand the best time to buy them and the best time to sell Devi players. Because they're not scoring any points for our fantasy team. So we want to make sure that we're still accruing value as much as possible with these stocks and assets. So that's kind of what we're doing over there. You can always become a patron at patreon.com/Devi Marketplace. Especially if you're into like campus to Canton leagues, like that's a great resource. Because we just put out our first episode of the recruiting class. Of this 2021 recruiting class where we like dive into like 30 quarterbacks that you've probably heard of like 4, maybe. It's like we dive in and like dive into all these guys and like if they have a chance of playing and if it's worthwhile to get them on your Devi team or on your Campus to Canton League team. And we dive into all that and we do all that work for you. And, you know, if you were a patron, you were probably on Seth McGowan before anyone else. You were on Lawrence Toafili from Florida State before anyone else. And you were able to cash in big on those players because you were buying them for cheap and no one knew who they were. And then all of a sudden now, Seth McGowan was being sold for, a pretty penny. So yeah, that's kind of what we're doing.
Patreon.com/DeviMarketplace.
That's the one.
Nice. I am part of that, by the way. So if you want to be cool like me, you go to patreon.com/DeviMarketplace and you sign the hell up.
Yeah, be cool. It's pretty fun.
Okay, so my spiel. Well, we already talked about it, but patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. Watch us as we record. Jump in on the chat so we can talk about you on the show. But we also have the Cool Kids Club, which is our GroupMe chat, which is awesome. And a lot of fun where you can talk to a whole lot of very smart, awesome people, including Kane.
Yeah.
What else do I have? FFPodShirts.StoreEnvy.com, where you can get awesome, awesome stuff from some awesome, awesome podcasts, including such podcasts as Trade Addicts Pod and Devi Marketplace.
Yeah, get a Devi Marketplace shirt or a sticker. They're pretty neat.
Yeah, I would show you the back of my laptop, but that is kind of possible because I use a third, but I'm far too lazy for it. But I do have a Devi Marketplace sticker on my laptop. And also...
And all the money from that goes to charity, so...
Yes, it does. For the rest of December, which is another 10 days, all donations, all money, all proceeds go to Partners in Healing, which is a charity that helps people who are fighting cancer pay their bills, not their medical bills, but it, you know, their rent, their mortgage, their electricity bills. It lets them focus on, you know, what's in front of them, you know, fighting what they have to fight and not worrying about, you know, not having lights or heat. So any money we get from FF Pod Shirts for the rest of December will be added to the lump that goes to Partners in Healing. We also have our wristbands, the neon green and navy blue Trade Addicts Pod wristbands. Just slide up into my DMs, $5 per wristband, $2 of each of those, of each of that five will also go to Partners in Healing. And I want to say again that starting next week, we are going to have Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict in my co-host chair, but I just did not want to share Kane with him. So Kane.
Also, I was actually just on Rocky's podcast like 2 weeks ago. So
you were, and I was a little sad that you didn't tell me because I, you know, they used my StreamYard and I totally would have just jumped in on the show. So Kane, I love you and good night.
I love you too, brother. Have a good night.